yonder card, so pure, so bright, so very hard. I think of one I cannot see, but one who sees and cares for me. Those were the words my father taught me growing up when I look up to yonder sky. Certainly, we are grateful to God for another privilege and another opportunity to be within a given span of time that is very remarkable in the life of the church. I am happy and glad that Pastor has given me this opportunity to speak on this day, and I am blessed by his love and by his constant mentorship over the weeks as I sit in the back of the church just learning the nitty-gritty of what constitute church administration. At first, I was just captured by preaching and running around and what have you, but now I have to sit and just understand what it takes to run an entire church and all of that. So I'm just grateful for that leadership and for the knowledge disseminated to me. And to all of you, the ministers and the deacons, to all of you kissed by grace, seated here today looking all good, great. I may have complimented a few of you, but I show every one of you just look very, very great today. And you can just thank God for that. Just give him the praise for who you are. Amen. Like I always said in the words of Elizabeth Taylor, the Hollywood celebrity, she told her fourth husband, "It seems like I wouldn't keep you long." And so I want to do just that this morning, not to keep you long. So if you will, for a few moments, turn your scripture to the book of Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 16, not 9. Mark chapter 16, verses 9 to 14. And if you are physically able to stand, would you please stand so that we can read God's word. Mark chapter 16, verses 9 to 14. Recorded are these words. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. They did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he has risen. As you continue to stand, let us turn quickly in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we will begin reading. And we will begin reading from verse 3, please. For what I receive, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sin according to the scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and later of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. As you take a seat, my brothers and sisters, would you look in the face of someone and say, the week after resurrection. Maybe that's the wrong neighbor. Turn to somebody else and say, the week after resurrection. That's what I want to talk about for a few moments. The week after resurrection. Pray with me. God, if it pleases you, grant unto me that your written words, through the spoken words, might be the living word. Amen. The week after resurrection. Minister Lucas, about this time, the tomb is empty. The disciples are scattered in fear and disarray. Of course, Jerusalem, by this time, all of it pilgrims are quieting. They are making their way to their various locations. They are talking. A lot of things have happened from last week, Friday, to Sunday, and to this day. Many hope has been dashed. They look forward to that great moment, but it seems it did not happen as they expected. And so you can tell what is going on about this time. We don't talk much about what happened after resurrection because we shouted last Sunday that Jesus is risen. Yes, he is risen, but what is really going on after resurrection? What is really going on after resurrection? My brothers and sisters, in order for us to understand this passage of scripture, we must first understand the contextual setting of the text. And a proper understanding will lead us to a proper conclusion.
Yeah.
Here Mark writes to delineate what really happened after resurrection. He started the narrative by showing to us that Jesus appeared to a woman by the name of Mary Magdalene. Mm-hmm. He'd also move on to say that Jesus appeared to two other guys who were walking along the road of Emmaus. And then he went on to say that Jesus then finally appeared to the 12 disciples, or the 11 disciples.
Yeah.
My question that I raise in the text, every time he appeared to somebody, as the Bible says, that the disciple did not believe it. Why are they not believing it? That's a question that we need to grapple with this morning. So let us start the conversation. What happened after resurrection? Now, the first thing I want to submit to you today, as I told you, I wouldn't keep you long. The first thing I want to submit to you today, that the week after resurrection teaches us few things. It submits to us few significant things that we must be very, very mindful of. And the first thing I want to submit to you today, the week after resurrection, it calls for the quest to search the scripture.
Yeah.
It calls for a quest to search the scripture. And that's what I'm going to be doing this morning. I don't want to start with Mary Magdalene. I'll make her the second. Let me start up with the man at the Emmaus role. So in Luke chapter 24, it is clearly recorded. The second event in our text today is clearly recorded in Luke chapter 24. The Bible says, now everybody on their way, they're leaving. Because the expectation that Jesus would have been the military Messiah who conquered all of the Roman Empire and sits on it, so that at least the Jew can have freedom and liberty, that they will no longer be suppressed and oppressed, but they're in their thoughts and process. As they look at Jesus, something happened.
Yeah.
He died, he's in the grave, and their hope They're walking along the Emir's road as they were walking. The text said that they started having conversation among themselves. We thought Jesus would have been, we thought he was that Messiah that would have liberated us.
Yeah.
They're walking mad, sodden, disappointed, frustrated. As they walk along the Emir's road, the Bible says that Jesus appeared to them. He began to walk with them.
Yeah.
Notice what the text says, that he appears in a different form. Which means, my brothers and sisters, the Jesus that they have known all these time, they walk with, hang with, when he came out to them. Matter of fact, the text even went to say that Jesus prevented them from seeing him.
Yeah, yeah.
They saw his physical reality, but they could not recognize him. They're walking, Jesus talking about it, and Jesus asked them, what are you guys talking about? And they said, hold on. Are you the only stranger? Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem that don't know what went down this week?
Yeah, right.
Are you kidding me? Jesus said, but then what it is that you were talking about? They started talking. They said, you know, we are talking about this man called Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah.
One who has great words and deeds by God and by human. He was so favored. He was powerful. But we handed him over, the religious leader handed him over to be sentenced, and he died. Our hope and expectation was that this man would have been the Messiah.
Yeah.
But it has been 3 days now, and to just our injury to insult, the women went to his grave and said that an angel appeared to them and said that Jesus is raising. The women ran to the grave and told us that Jesus is risen. We did not believe it. And the reason why they did not believe it, if you read Luke chapter 24, 11, the text says that the women's voice were like nonsense to them. And the reason why it was like a nonsense to them, because back in the day, the culture in which Jesus grew up, women were not considered. Luke is trying to push the liberation of women, that women's voice matter in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even though they said it was nonsense, but Jesus is saying that women matter.
That's right. That's right.
And the Bible says this here is nonsense. Women were not considered as witnesses in courthouses.
Yeah.
Their voice didn't matter. You can hear Paul. You just hear Paul saying women should keep silence. Some of that. But that's the cultural context. And they started telling Jesus. But the women came out and say that Jesus is gone. The disciple went to the grave. They did not see Jesus in the grave. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, you foolish. And you are slow-hearted. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. You're foolish. That's Luke chapter 24, verses 25. He said to them, how foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer before he go to his glory? Then the Bible says that Jesus opened up the scripture to them from Moses to the prophets.
Yeah.
I argue today, my brothers and sisters, that after the resurrection, it calls for us to have the quest to deepen ourselves in scripture.
Yeah.
And the reason is because after Jesus' resurrection, the first time we ever seen Jesus would take the Bible apart from Genesis to Malachi to show to these people that God says that he will send his son and his son will suffer and his son will go to glory. That this kingdom you are talking about is inundated, it confronted by suffering and not just glory. For the first time, my brothers and sisters, that we know Jesus, Jesus allowed them to deepen the scripture. You know what that teaches us today? That Bible study is very, very important. The reason why I said it's important, these disciples knew about the scripture. They knew about the word of God, but they decided to pick a side in the scripture and not to deepen themselves. Jesus said, in order for you to have a spirit of acceptance, you have to be deepened in the word of God. I wasn't there when Jesus started exposing the text. None of us was there, but the fact that we are far, far distant from that experience, we can now surmise. We can go into the text and find out what Jesus really taught on the road of Emmaus.
That's right.
He said, the Bible says that he taught from Moses and to the prophets. So what was he teaching about Moses? We all do know that Moses wrote the five books of the Bible, the first five: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy.
That's right.
The Bible says that Jesus went in the scripture and tried to show every part in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, where Jesus fits in, so that you can know that this is not about the glory, but rather is about the suffering Savior. I strongly believe, Pastor, when he opened the book of Genesis, he turned strict to Genesis chapter 3:15, where when Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says that God had to kill a lamb for their sin. Jesus said, if you don't know, that lamb was killed, and I am the type of that lamb.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm quite sure when he started moving, progressing in Genesis, he said, notice now, Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son. And just about the time to sacrifice a son, God provided a lamb that was caught in the thicket. And I am that lamb.
Yeah, that's right.
You stay looking for glory, because when you enter Exodus, the Bible says that on the day in Israel that they were about to leave from Egypt, God told them, pick a lamb that is blameless. Kill the lamb, take the blood, and put it on the doorpost. And when the angel of death comes, it will pass over. Jesus is saying, I am that lamb.
Yeah, that's right.
In Leviticus, the Bible says that there was a goat, and the priest would bring the goat, and everybody would confess their sin on the goat, and the goat would be allowed to go in the wilderness and carry the sin of everyone, and that goat will die. That goat was the scapegoat. Jesus says in Leviticus, I am the scapegoat. In Numbers, he said, I am the serpent on the bronze stick, that when the snake would bite in the Israelite, when you look up to the snake, you will be saved. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. At the time he entered Deuteronomy, he reminds them that I am the one who hang on the cross, that become a curse, that the Bible said, cursed he who hang on the stake. He said, I am that one. I took your sin. I bore your sin. I carried your sin. I am that. Instead of talking to Daniel about the prophet, I sure he went as far as Psalm 22 when David proclaimed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I sure he proclaimed about the sovereign Savior in Isaiah chapter 58 or 53, talking about himself. The Bible said that Jesus exposed them to the scripture. And what I come to tell you this morning is, when you lack the scripture, when you are not rooted in the scripture, you carry with you doubts and unbelief. That's what the text teaches us. They are doubting because they fail to impart themselves. They fail to deepen the self with the scripture. That's what I have a problem with Christians who don't come to Bible status.
Yeah.
I have a serious problem with folk who don't study the scripture. David said, that word, oh God, have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against thee. That word is like a lamb unto my path. The word of God is very essential. A Sunday 20-minute sermon cannot keep you alive in Jesus. You need some Bible study in your spirit. Bible study at home. Bible study in the morning. Bible study in the evening. Bible study whenever you find yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
You need Bible studies not just on a Wednesday, because the reason why I emphasize that you need Bible studies, for those of you who don't know my story, my father was a preacher. At age 10 years old, I always did devotion, always did Bible studies, always did the Bible. 1990, one of the most horrific civil war was launched in my country, you should imagine a 10 years old who grew up in the church that was always told that God will protect you, God will do this for you, God will guide you, God will provide. God, I remember many days we never have food to eat, but every time my father will always tell me, son, did I teach you in Philippians 4:19 that my God shall supply all my needs according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus?
Yeah.
He taught me the scripture. Yeah. As a result of the Civil War, my father died. Mm-hmm. You can imagine a 10 years old or 18 years old trying to make sense of this. A man who preached God's word. A man who was closer to God. I'm making sense out of this. Not only that, but my older sister, who was a nurse in the hospital, the soldiers came in and started, one of the soldiers got wounded. And they came to her with a gun. She was the only nurse on duty at the hospital. They said, you gotta do a surgery. And if you don't do a surgery and heal him, we're going to kill you. My older sister, who was a nurse, never knew anything about surgery. She had to do whatever she could because she had guns pointed to her. And unfortunately, that guy, he didn't make it. My sister was ripped and killed. Older sister. Imagine a young man like me making sense out of that, who grew up in the church. But if I never knew the word of God,
yeah,
if I never knew that there is a better place that they're going, if I never knew that they are with God, I would have left the faith. But I kept reminding myself that the Lord is able, the Lord will be with me, the Lord will protect me, the Lord will guide me. In spite of my circumstances, I held on to the word of God.
Thank you, Lord.
And the reason why Christians always leave the faith when they get in problems is because they don't have the word of God. That's why you doubt God. That's why you get out of the church when somebody cut their eyes at you. Someone sat in your seat. You get out of the church. You don't want to see God again. That word of God, have I hid it in my heart? The word is quick and powerful, sharper than two-edged sword, spears in to divide the sunder of soul. It is of a joint and marrow. It is God's word that will liberate you. It is God's word that will keep you in time of sickness, in time of trial, in time of tribulation. The Bible says the resurrection teaches us to deepen ourselves, to understand God's will and God's ways for our life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Jesus did the same thing when he appeared to his disciple. After they doubted him, the Bible say, and he opened the scripture and pointed to them. You know, when I growing up, my preaching was only based on making, you know, come and preaching, get out. But now that I'm a pastor, it is more than just getting people to shout and more than just getting you to jump off your seat. It's about directing you in the word of God.
That's right.
It's about you developing your own Bible study life. So when those tough days come, you can be like Jesus and say, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, I argued with you today that after the resurrection, Jesus advocate for the call, for the quest to search the scripture.
Yep.
Jesus said, in it is their wish that talk about me in the scripture. But not only that, my brothers and sisters, I also want to submit to you today that after resurrection, one of the things we learn is that it calms our worry about our final destination. It calls for the quest to deepen our resolve into scripture. But the resurrection also calms our worry about the final destination.
Yeah.
That would be fine. I'm doing Bible search now. In the book of John chapter 27, the Bible says, now I'm talking about Mary Magdalene, the first person in our text. The Bible says Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. In John 20, John read it, did well with the story to give us detail. The Bible says after Jesus died, all of his disciples had left and everybody gone, but Mary kept around. Mary was hanging around all the time. She was around. And the Bible says that as she was crying, she saw two angels. And so when she came back, they told her that Jesus is risen. Why? Look for the living among the dead. The Bible said when she came out, she saw Jesus. Again, Jesus was in a different form. That's what the scripture said. She did not recognize Jesus. Matter of fact, she thought Jesus was the gardener. She said, tell me, gardener, you know, they took my Lord away. If you were the one who did it, can you tell me so I can go and cry over his body? And then Jesus looked at her and said, Mary. Mary. He called her the name he'd always called her. The Bible says immediately her eyes were deepened and she saw Jesus and she held on to Jesus. Matter of fact, the text said, Jesus said, do not touch me. I'm going. I have not been yet with my father or to my father. I look at that word these few days, Pastor, after we have Bible study, I try to resolve it. I look deeply with the word, did a lot of word study. What it really meant, the Bible is saying that she was, the verb used is in the present imperative. Right. It means that he was holding on to her, never wanted him to go. It is true, Jesus is dead. When she encountered Jesus, Jesus said, don't hold on to me. Go to the disciple. I am going to the Father. That must ring a bell to you. That in the mind of the Jew, they never knew how to authenticate what happens when a person dies. Their mindset, even the Greek mindset, is that you go on into another life but can't tell what happened. But Jesus teaches us in this text that when you die, you go to be with the Father. My brothers and sisters, this is very important because Jesus authenticated this, that when we die, those who are in Christ, those who accept Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, this text teaches us that when you die, when you leave this world, you are present with Jesus. Then Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I come, I will receive you unto me. Did Jesus say that? What I'm trying to propose to you, my brothers and sisters, this resurrection really encourages for those of us who are in Jesus that when we die, we will. I said, when we die, we that are in Jesus, when we die, we will be with the Lord. To be absent in this body is to be present with God. The resurrection teaches us that you're not just going to die and everything is over. There is a life after this life. This resurrection teaches us that some bright morning when this word is over, that we will see Jesus.
Never
see Jesus except you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because he's only coming for those who are prepared. That's why I'm not afraid of death at all. That's why when my father died and my sister was ripped and killed, I had hope that someday that I will see them again. I have hope that someday we all will reunite in that heavenly place.
Yeah.
There is life after this life. And you got to be careful how you live life here, because your life you live here will determine your next life after.
Yeah.
And don't you ever leave this place without a real your relationship with Jesus Christ. The resurrection teaches us that because he lived, I can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lived. And you ask me how I know he lived. He walks with me and he talks with me. And he said that I am his own. We got the resurrection teaches us, my brothers and sisters, that there is hope.
Yes.
After this life. Maybe I can make it plain. Grew up with Big Mama. She taught me more than you can think. Mm-hmm. Taught me about Christianity. My father taught me, but my father was a strong will guy. Like to punish his children. Whooping so many times. So I used to cleave to Big Mama all the time. She taught me about Jesus.
Yeah.
She taught me about the love of God.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, most people never knew that my biological mother was my mother because I was always closer to her. She was a woman that I knew that fasted for 21 days without eating a food. She was a woman that I knew that was always in the church praying because, you know, my father's house was closer to the church. We could just move. My room, matter of fact, was the door that entered in the church. So that's how tedious it was. Grew up with her. She saw me and raised me and taught me the word of God. When the Civil War came, my mama told me these words. She said, Adam, God is about to take you somewhere. I wasn't thinking about being a preacher. She told me that God told me that you're going to be one that will preach to the nations.
Yeah.
And you are not going to stay in Liberia. God is going to take you in the worst in the world. This is what she told me. She said, Adam, as you leave, do not return to Liberia until God has taken you where he told me that he will take you. She put her hand over me and she prayed. She was an old woman, very old. She prayed for 30 minutes and cried. She gave me three prophecies that will come to fruition. Two already came to fruition. I'm still waiting for the last one. She prayed and cried and put her hands over me. For 30 minutes. After that, she did it again for another 30 minutes.
Yeah.
She said these last words to me. Son, when you leave this place, even when you hear that I am dead, do not return until God take you to where he told me that he will take you. Left Liberia, fled from the Civil War because she could not walk. She could not, and we had to walk long distances just to get to all the countries. She stayed in Liberia, and I was in Ghana, two different countries. God helped me, and I had to go to the Bible college, one of which she prophesied. I was in the Bible college one evening praying and had my books and Bible, studying pastor, preparing for a test. Lay on the floor and studying for that exam. And out of a sudden, Pastor, the wall got bright, and I saw the woman walking in the cloud. I tried to run, I couldn't. And she waved to me like this, never said a word. And the world closed on me. I woke up, ran to my friends in the Bible college, told them I saw the ghost. They were joking me on that. I said, maybe it was Jesus. The next morning when I got up, I got a call from Liberia that the very hour that she showed up and said bye was the hour that she died. And as I began to reflect on that, Jesus began to speak in my heart. He said, I sent her to just say bye to you. She's now with me.
Yeah.
My brothers and sisters, I come to tell you today that there is life after this life.
Yeah.
And what a joy there will be when you are Christian, because the Bible says we all would be with the Lord. So may I submit to you today that you take your life a little bit serious.
take life a little bit, take this Jesus business a little bit serious. Because if you died in Jesus, you will be with the Lord.
That's right.
May the Lord God bless you.
Yeah.
And bless you real good.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.